Running with Jake, the podcast. On this episode...
Do I have to classify this person as a critic or a troll? Because I get really confused with the whole social media thing. I don't think I've ever had a troll before. Have I got a troll? Is there a troll? I don't know.
It feels to me like it's a troll.
Running with Jake, the podcast. Because every runner needs the occasional plod. And here's your host, Jake Lowe.
Welcome to the Running with Jake podcast. This is the place for you for your weekly dose of running motivation. I'm your running coach. I'm your host, Jake Lowe. Thanks for joining me today. Wherever you listen to this, whether you're out running right now, don't let me distract you too much. Obviously, you need to focus on what you're doing. Whether you're in the car, whether you're at work, wherever you are, thank you very much for joining us. We've got a great show lined up for you today. But before I get into all that, just a subtle reminder, a very subtle reminder that we would greatly appreciate you rating and reviewing our show. Don't forget to share the show. Now, actually, I do have a mini bone to pick here. Now, I didn't think I needed to point this out because it should be pretty self-evident that we would like 5 stars. I mean, come on, man. Give us some support here. We're a new show. We got 1 star. Pete, the producer, we got 1 star. Did you see
right,
this?
It's worth clarifying that overall we've got 5 stars because, thankfully, the people who listen really like the show and that's great. But there is one person who, for a short period of time, brought us down to 4 stars because they gave us 1 star. However, I'm happy to report that that's now gone back up to an overall 5 star. But the fact is that if you hit on our stats, you see that one person has given us 1 star. Why would you do that?
Well, you're the stats guy. You're the producer of the show. You know, this is not my department. In fact, you don't even give me access to the download numbers because you know it would just mess with my head. I'll become obsessed with them, waking up at like 3 a.m. in the morning. I'll go and get myself a Diet Coke, and then it's like, oh, I just checked the download numbers for last week's show. But that's clearly not a good thing. But 1 star. I mean, we've got an average of 5, but this is not a 1 star show. I mean, I wonder, you know, actually, Pete, I wonder whether somebody's accidentally pressed 1 star, because you can do that. You know how you accidentally like a post? You ever done that?
Maybe you like dropping to sleep and then your thumb accidentally rolls onto 1 star instead of 5. That can happen.
They intended on giving us 5, but actually accidentally gave us 1 star. That could be an option.
So do you know what? If you've ever given us 5 stars or if you've ever reviewed us, do us a favour. Go and check on your review. If you accidentally hit on 1 star, then just change that to 5, because it's bugging you out, right?
It's messing with my head. I mean, look, it's not difficult. But having said that, obviously sometimes with Apple, if you go on Apple Podcast, it don't allow you to actually take off that star and then put 5 stars. Sometimes that happens. So what you might need to do is deactivate your iCloud account. It gets a bit messy, but it's fine. I'm sure you'll work it out. Google it. And then set up a new account, maybe under a different name, like your neighbour's name or something like that, your colleague at work. And then you can set up a new account, and then you can go back into the Running with Jake podcast and leave us a 5-star review and rating. It's really quite simple.
Even if you need to cancel your entire subscription to Apple, then it's definitely worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it, right? Because it's messing with you. And I'll be honest, right? I mean, and I don't like to blow my own trumpet, but this is a good show. I'm proud of this show. We do a good show. You're a very good host. You know your stuff. We produce it. It sounds great. Well, it sounds good. All I'd say is, okay, I appreciate it. It's not everybody's cup of tea. I get that. Of course it's not. It's not a 1 star. Under no conditions, on the worst day, when we're hungover, you're injured, you know, things aren't going so well, the worst we've ever been, ever, in all of my years, is a 3-star. That's the worst.
Do you know the thing that's unsettling me the most?
What's that?
What if the Lone Star Ranger is listening right now? That really concerns me. What if they're listening to the show right now? And they know, it wasn't an accident. They went 1 star, but you notice they didn't leave a review, so there was no pointers, no comments. That's not even constructive feedback. We don't even know what to change.
No.
I mean, if they'd have said to me, look, really like the show, but you know what? That Pete the producer, he's got to go, man. 1 star. I'd be thinking about it. I'd have to think about it in the name of the show.
But at least you know where you stand, right? At least you can act on that. But as it is, 1 star means nothing. It's like someone runs up to you and says, you're crap, but then doesn't back it up.
Do I have to classify this person as a critic or a troll? Because I get really confused with the whole social media thing. I don't think I've ever had a troll before. Have I got a troll? Is there a troll? I don't know.
It feels to me like it's a troll. Because if you do a 1-star review and then you say, I didn't like it because of X, Y, and Z, then that's fine. That's a critic, right? If you're like a keyboard warrior. But you're not even... You're a click warrior. So you're clicking. You're clicking and running.
Yeah, click and run. That's what they are. They're a click and runner.
Unbelievable. I have no respect for click and runners. Forget it. If you want to give us constructive criticism, that's fine. But on the worst day, the worst of the worst, just 3 stars, please.
I think it might be an ex-girlfriend. I'm convinced it's an ex-girlfriend of mine.
Look, let's not get into it. Let's not get hung up on the whole 1-star thing. It's going to bring the mood of the show down. Stop doing that thing with your eyes. Stop that now. Stop it. Okay, let's just crack on with the show. In fact, you know, I've got something written down because I saw a Facebook post of yours, and you were saying how 18 miles is harder. The 18-mile point in a marathon is actually harder than 20 miles. That makes no sense to me as a non-running guy. Just explain that to me.
It's interesting because I was really unsure about whether or not to do that video. So that was a live video I think you're talking about I did on Facebook.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
I was a bit unsure about whether to do it or not because obviously you know my girlfriend Martina.
Yeah.
But this came from an experience I had. Well, two experiences where I ran marathons with ex-girlfriends of mine.
Okay. You're running a marathon with two ex-girlfriends in tow?
No, it was two different marathons. One was in 2009, which was Amsterdam, which was a great marathon. And then the next one was in 2012, which was London. So it was, you know, a bit of a good number of years between the two. But then I was kind of weighing it up. I was like, well, how will Martina feel about this? And I was like, well, hang on, this is great content for Facebook. You know, I think this is really going to help people. So I thought, do it. Actually, I'm not sure if she's seen it yet because I think, similar to yourself, she gets these Running with Jake notifications, but she sees so much of my mug that she just doesn't watch the stuff half the time.
Fair enough.
So my whole thinking behind it, obviously you think, well, hang on a second, even if you're not running, IP, 20 miles. So you're saying to me that 18 miles is more challenging than running 20. That doesn't make any sense.
No, it makes no sense because you're 2 miles more tired out when you get to the 20-mile marker than when you're at the 18-mile marker, surely.
Yeah, but this is interesting because now with it, we're talking physically, right? So that's what you're thinking about. You think, well, my legs are going to be battered by 18 miles. My legs are going to be even more battered by 20 miles. But I'm talking psychologically. Back in 2009, when I ran the Amsterdam Marathon, one of my girlfriends, right? So an ex-girlfriend of mine, it was her first marathon, just to set the scene. So Amsterdam, she was fit. She was in good shape. She was prepared. It was kind of before I was doing the Running with Jake stuff, but I was a personal trainer. I'd run a few marathons myself, all that stuff. So coaching her. And I was running it with her. So I was there in a supporting role.
You did just say that your ex-girlfriend was really fit and your current girlfriend is listening. So you can deal with that at a later date, but please continue.
But as my producer of the podcast, I order you to edit that bit out, which I'm sure you will do, being a good friend of mine. So, brushing over that, tumbleweed, in 2009, so I ran the marathon with her, right? It was all going really, really well. She was fit in a fitness sense. So the race is going well. First time she's ever ran 26.2 miles. So from about 50 miles onwards, I can tell from her face that, you know, things are starting to challenge her somewhat now. You know, she'd ran decent mileage in training, long runs and stuff, but she's getting closer and closer to that 18 mile mark. She hits 18 miles and she stops. It was almost like a mini panic attack. It wasn't like a full on, but it was like anxiety, just that overwhelming feeling, the anxiety of, oh my gosh, look what I've ran already, 18 miles, and I've still got 8.2 miles to go. And my role at that point was immediately, it wasn't a case of motivating and trying to push somebody along. It was a case of going, right, okay, we need to take some pressure off this girl right now because she's in a situation where she's putting so much pressure on herself, she doesn't need me to dump any more pressure on top of her. So I'm talking to her, you know, saying, everybody's running past, by the way, and I'm saying, look, you know, don't worry, it doesn't matter, it's not the end of the world, because when we're in that situation we can feel like it's the end of the world. Subsequently, she calmed down, we lost a bit of time, she kept going, she crossed the line, she did really well, and she learned from it. She didn't get the time she wanted and was frustrated, but she got through it. That was at the 18 mile point. Fast forward to 2012. Yes, this is a different ex-girlfriend now.
Okay, was this one fit, Jay?
She was
sorry,
fit.
I've become a lad all of a sudden. I'm too laddie, I'm sorry. I retract that.
So we get to 18 mile point and I'm looking across, I'm thinking, this is history going to repeat itself here. And it's not my doing, by the way. It's not because that I was, you know, I appreciate that I was there in both situations. It wasn't my fault. But we got to the 18 mile point and she stopped. And I remember in London, we lost 17 minutes. A long time, Pete, you know, just stood there at the side of the road.
Sure.
And London is massive, you know, in terms of the volume of the runners, the crowd. There's so much going on. I think it's the biggest fundraising event in the world.
It is.
I mean,
massive,
incredible.
Yeah. It's
17
massive.
Minutes, because again, it was that anxiety, that feeling of almost despair. You know, how am I going to get through the next 8.2 miles? You know, I've already ran 18. We lost 17 minutes. I did the same thing. I took pressure off. We got going again. Didn't get the time that she wanted, but crossed the line, learned from it, reflected on it, and so the story goes on. But actually, you know, on reflection, I think 18 miles is a really significant point in a marathon. Obviously, running 18 miles is slightly easier than running 20. But because most marathon runners, particularly new marathon runners, will put all the pressure on that magic 20 miles. They want to achieve 20 miles in training. They want to tick that box. It's just a common goal that new marathon runners will have. They almost overlook the 18-mile point because they're waiting for 20. Now, when you get to 18 miles in a marathon, you've ran 18 miles, but you've still got 8.2 miles to go. And I think that's the bit that can tip people over the edge, because psychologically, 8.2 miles sounds like a long way. Most runners, particularly new marathon runners, won't run 8.2 miles in the week. Most of them. It won't be like one of their regular runs, a regular route that they can visualize to help get them through it. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Whereas with 20 miles, although you've run that little bit further, at 20 miles, you've only got 10K to go. And I'm not saying that's going to be a walk in the park physically, but psychologically, you can probably visualize one of your local 10K routes. You know, most runners, once they get to the starting line of their marathon, 10K shouldn't overwhelm them. And it's psychologically why I think 18 miles is almost more challenging than 20.
That's really interesting. And basically, you're saying that it is definitely to do with a psychological thing in the 10K, which is a distance that's quite achievable for people who are taking on marathons. And absolutely nothing to do with the fact that any woman, any ex of yours, could only bear to be in your company for 18 miles.
Absolutely correct. Although on the slim chance I happen to be wrong, I will cap my girlfriend pacing services to half marathons.
Still to come on Running with Jake.
Obviously, when you're injured, you kind of don't change your eating habits. You kind of put on a bit of weight as well. So I was ringing you just to see if Manchester was possible, because I'd love to see two things at Manchester. One would be your good self, and the other one would be, technically my penis under my belly, mate, would be nice.
But now, with something even more interesting, here's Jake.
It's the Running with Jake podcast. Pete, I know we're just in the flow of things here, matey, but I've just got to call a friend of mine back. It won't take a second. It's my mate Darren. We've been trying to catch each other all morning, and I've just seen his miss call me, so I'll just give him a quick buzz back.
Dude, this is highly irregular. This is a podcast recording session.
I know, but when he calls me, there's always a problem, so I really need to chat to him. I did try and call him before the show, but he was in the supermarket. He texted me back. In fact, he sent me a photo of the contents of his shopping trolley, which was quite interesting.
Hi, mate.
Dude, how are you?
I'm all right, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, not bad, thanks. Listen, sorry I missed your call. We keep missing each other, don't we? I got your picture of your shopping, by the way. That looks like a really exciting trip for you.
Yeah, the saddest shopping basket I think I've ever packed in 46 years.
It looks it, mate. I must admit, though, there's only like 5 items in the basket, but they all look kind of nicely aligned. I was pretty impressed with that.
It's the OCD kicking in. However, I'd like to tell you that the ice was for some like exotic cocktails or something like that. But actually to dip my feet in, mate, because I've just managed to get a bit of running done on the treadmill, but the bottom of my feet are killing, so I thought a bit of an ice bath would go miss.
By the way, I'm in the studio with Pete. We're recording some of the podcast stuff. Say hello to Pete.
Hiya, Pete.
Hiya, mate.
I ought to point out, Pete, that whenever Darren messages me, it always concerns me, because I think there's going to be some kind of problem.
Oh, dear.
And now you're buying massive bags of ice. What's going on? Because you were injured, weren't you? And you're kind of always injured, I think it's fair to say. What's going on?
Yeah, I think I would class myself as an exotic collector of injuries, mate, yeah. If there's an injury to be had, I'm like the old guy at a Jurassic Park collected injuries, mate. It's okay to laugh, because it's my own stupidness that causes me to get injured. I think we both can agree on that.
It's now a thing, by the way. So my runners that I coach in the performance community, if they do something, let's be frank, a little bit stupid with training, and they overtrain,
stupid,
they push it too much, they do something a bit crazy, they end up injured, it's now they've done a Darren. So the phrase is now, don't do a Darren. But you seem to keep doing Darrens, Darren. What's going on?
I'm very stubborn, and I don't listen to anybody, and it always causes me to do something random. So, as you know, I've been injured several times, but I got injured more recently just before running Nottingham Half Marathon. 2 weeks before, I got this quite serious like calf injury, so I thought if I had 2 weeks rest and then just ran it on the day, I could wing it. And felt something go in my calf at like mile 4. Still ran it because there was a medal at the end, mate, and I do like a medal. I like a sturdy medal, and ended up doing massive amounts of damage because I ran the half marathon. Ended up not being able to walk for 2 weeks, had 12 sessions of physio, and then sort of decided to have a rebuild. So started doing some treadmill running. Was right, I'll go and do a mile on my treadmill. And then I did a mile and I felt great. So I did 2 and I felt great. So I did 3. And then all of a sudden it escalates out of control. And then I did 6 miles and ended up with heel injury. So stupid.
In all seriousness, I would love, because we've had a few runs, you know, I saw you at the the Derby Ramathon a few years ago, as it was called then. Like,
yep.
I just would love to see you back running and healthy. But it's always when you're feeling good. It's if I get a message from you and I can sense the excitement because you're a passionate guy. I read the message and I'm thinking, oh man, he's on one. I'm worried about you. Do you know what I mean? It's not good when you feel good.
So what I've done now is, as soon as I realised I was doing something stupid again, I've kind of knocked it on the head for a couple of weeks, and now I've gone back right to the start to totally rebuild as of running to a time rather than a distance.
Oh, good.
So, you know, when you've run like, yeah, so when you've run like marathons and things like that, as you are more than aware, you're like, right, I'm going to go out and do 7 miles, 10 miles, 2 miles, whatever. Now it's like, right, just do 20 minutes and stop. I need to employ somebody to stand at the side of my treadmill with a megaphone saying, no. No, you know, I'll just do another minute. No, and that would sort it. My wife's tried to steer me in that right direction, and yeah, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. She was like, "Are you sure you should be running Nottingham Half Marathon with a calf injury?" I'll be fine. Yeah, I just need to listen, but I don't, and that's the problem. I'm doing 3 times a week, every other sort of day, and like I say, just do a time. Speed's not an issue. It's just like, totally dialed back. But now in my head, I'm like, right, I wonder if I could run Manchester Marathon if I've got enough time, which is the reason why I was phoning you.
You've mentioned Manchester Marathon a lot, and that was the marathon that you did, the only marathon, and you had problems in that event, didn't you?
Manchester was really enjoyable. I absolutely loved it, and fitness-wise, I felt great, and the training had gone fantastic. And as I think you can remember, I got cramp at mile 23, which was just heartbreaking. So I kind of feel like I've left a bit of something out there, mate. And I thought I was good for a good time at Manchester. And I'm a little bit disappointed with that. And I think sometimes that is why I keep getting injured, because I'm so desperate to get back to that point to have another crack at it. I'm impatient, and this is how it comes across.
Because of your personality, you're so driven with these things. And like I'm always saying to people, look, there's so many races out there that it doesn't have to be that one. You know, that particular event on that day that everybody's pinning their hopes and prayers on doing when they've had an injury and massive setback and stuff like that. I mean, having said that, you know, there are many people out there, you know this, that are, I mean, what have we got? Like, it's 11, 12 weeks until Manchester Marathon, something like that.
Yeah.
You know that there's going to be people out there that are thinking like you are now, but they'll be thinking that in 3 or 4 weeks' time, and they've got even less time. You know, oh, could I? You know, rubbing the calf. Well, maybe it feels okay. Maybe I can start training. So there is an element of, you know, people will do what they want to do ultimately, but I always say to people, look, there's a risk attached to it. And I'm speaking very honestly with you now. I always will. It's not out the question that you could do Manchester. I know you. I know you've done a marathon before. And I know you're driven and you've managed to get through half marathons. But actually, do you want to do it at all costs? Do you know what I mean? You don't want to go, well, I managed to drag myself through another terrible race. And
I don't.
I got a T-shirt. And actually, that's me for the next 6 months, 12 months, or even longer.
Yes. Right, so hence the reason I'm phoning you, mate. I don't want to do another Darren. The problem I've got is when I start to build up after an injury, I feel physically great in the sense of when I'm running on the treadmill, no problems with breathing. It's literally my body that just keeps letting me down. I think I need to lose a bit of weight. I think obviously when you're injured, you kind of don't change your eating habits. You kind of put on a bit of weight as well. So I was ringing you just to see if Manchester was possible, because I'd love to see two things at Manchester. One would be your good self, and the other one would be technically my penis under my belly, mate. Would be nice. So, yeah, as you know, running does a lot of things. It keeps you fit, it keeps you thin, it keeps you in shape, and, yeah.
Look, I mean, have you signed up for anything? Have you signed up for Manchester or any other races?
No, I didn't want to sign up for anything, quite frankly, because I'd just get injured if I did. Like I said, I've run twice this week. I'll be running again at the weekend, but like I said, I'm literally moving it up in, like, 5 minute sort of increments, you know what I mean? So I ran for 15 minutes and got off 20 minutes. I'm up to like 35 minutes now.
But that's so smart.
So slowly.
That's so smart, because you'd be running on distance, wouldn't you, before? You know, before we had all those chats, it would be, because if you go from 1 mile to 2 mile, well, that's double. That's massive increase, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's kind of what I've figured out, mate, is I've just sort of gone back to basics and thought, how did I do it the first time? And the first time was bite size. You know what I mean? You know, I think when we first started talking about running, which was a long time ago when I had literally just started running and stopped smoking I was smoking 30 a day when we met, and I couldn't run between two lampposts. And that's how I did it. It was, right, I'll do two lampposts and I'll do three lampposts. And that's how it started. So I know it's slightly different with the timing side of things, but it's kind of, I've took it back there. Do you know what I mean?
And I think that's a really smart move. Really smart move, because, you know, I watched the other night, actually, and I watched this because of you. You told me about this. Do you remember you texted me the other week and told me about the Andy Murray documentary resurfacing?
Heartbreaking.
Oh, man.
Heartbreaking.
I mean, yeah. That was it. You know, what a guy, and what a situation.
The situation. I didn't realise that the situation was that dire, because you only hear what's in the media, don't you? You know what I mean? But he worked his way up to world number one after being in pain since his 20s. Like, every day in training, every tennis match, pain. Then to be told when he reaches where he needs to be and he's just about to kick on that he potentially never play tennis again because he's absolutely destroyed his hip is just mind-blowing. And the poor lad, you know what I mean? I always wondered why he was a little bit of a grumpy sod. And the fact is, if he's in pain, like, every minute of the day, trying to do what he loves, then that would kind of explain it, wouldn't it?
But don't you think that it was really interesting to see everything that he went through? I mean, we know, like, professional athletes, obviously they will, yeah, they, you know, it's full on. They'll sleep in the afternoon. They'll have physio, sports massage therapists, yeah, nutritionists. But when you actually saw all the fussy work that he was doing,
horrible.
You know, on, yeah, like, the reformer and, like, the Pilates and all that physio and rehab stuff. I mean, yes, it's his career, but at the end of the day, he's just a normal guy, isn't he? One of the big things for me was, if it can happen to him, somebody that's got everything, they've got all the best people, yep, around him, why do we, as mere mortals, as recreational runners, athletes, whatever you want to call us, why do we feel that we can't be injured? Why do we feel that we can cut corners? And I don't just mean you, I mean all of us, because I think everybody's done it. I've done it before, yep, and there's a good chance I'll do it again.
I got a couple of things from it. Number one, watching his frustrations, I could feel them, because I've been injured that many times. I could feel his frustrations, you know what I mean? Did you see the one where he sat crying into his towel after the match and the commentators were like, he's literally sobbing his heart out into a towel, and these guys are going, oh my God, this tennis match and this competition must mean so much to him that he's being emotional. And they're not actually realising he's crying in pain and the fact that he will potentially never set foot on a tennis court again. Awful.
Unbelievable, isn't it? I think, yeah, really powerful stuff. And like I say, it can happen to any of us. You don't want to be that person that you just keep pushing and winging it and cut corners, yeah, and it'll be okay. Oh, I've done 1 mile, I'll do 2 miles, I'll do three, I'll do 10, yeah, and then you're just done. You become that guy that used to run.
I think I'm stubborn, and I think most chaps can relate to that. You know what I mean? Not many people can say to me, don't do that, because I'll just ignore them, you know what I mean? And that's where it comes from. Like I said to you earlier in the conversation, I know I only have myself to blame for what I do, because I'm just pushing my luck, you know what I mean? And it's the wrong way of doing things. So let's see if I can do it a totally different way and totally rebuild. And that's the intention there. Follow something rigid, a plan. Hence the reason I was calling you, mate, just to see if Manchester was an option, if I took it this steady, gradually building up, and, you know, if I've got the time.
I mean, look, here's the deal, okay? I say this to everybody. There are risks associated with making decisions that are perhaps not the optimum decision, yeah? Because obviously the best decision with regards to Manchester Marathon would be to go, Jake, I'm thinking of doing Manchester Marathon. I'm going to sign up 2021. What do you think? And I go, brilliant, mate. That sounds ace. You know, you've got a long time to build back and everything else. Whereas now, all of a sudden, the pressure's been turned up. The heat's been turned up because you're looking at doing it in a matter of weeks, really, several weeks. So there are risks associated. Yeah. My suggestion is, don't do anything differently right now. You don't have to act, do you? You don't have to sign up for it. You don't have to change what you're doing training-wise. Because I think the minute that you register for that event, and this happens to a lot of people, I see it, the minute they sign up for an event, all of a sudden, the clock starts to tick because it becomes real. They've got a definite date they're working to. Whereas at the moment, you don't really have that. You just kind of have it in your mind as a, well, that would be nice to do. I'd like to do it, and I'd like to be there with Jake and everyone, and I'd like to get the medal and all that stuff, you know, put right your wrongs last year, shall we say, or in Manchester, the couple of years ago, rather. But I think it's about just taking that pressure off. Just hang fire. Let's see how the next few weeks go. Let's have another chat, and then we can take things from there.
Yeah.
That's what I would advise.
I'm going to do it structured and very, very gently. And I think you've said it before. You've got to listen to the, you know, to your body and listen to the smaller niggles and gripes, haven't you? Rather than wait until it's absolutely screaming at you before you stop running. So that's what I've tried to do, and that's what I did in this instance. So that's probably why I'm not injured at this point.
Let's keep it that way. Hey, it's good to chat to you, mate. Catch up soon.
You too, my friend.
Running with Jake, the podcast. Get all the video content at runningwithjake.com/podcast. That's PLODS. I can't spell. That's PLODCAST. And subscribe on iTunes and leave a review and send us cash in an envelope.
This is the Running With Jake podcast with me, Jake Lowe, your host. This is your weekly dose of running motivation. It happens right here. Don't forget to share, subscribe and review the show. Please, no one-star reviews.
You've got to let that go, man. You've got to let the Lone Star Bandit go.
I just don't think I can, Pete, to be honest. It's bothered me. Have you noticed?
Yeah, I have noticed, yeah, and it worries me because, and you did touch on it a little bit earlier on this podcast, that you don't like to look at the download figures or anything like that. Because on a podcast, it's great because I've got all the information on the screen in front of me. I can see who listens. I can see where they listen. I can see all that type of stuff. And do you know what I really appreciate about you is you understand yourself and you know that you could potentially become quite obsessed and weird about the numbers. And I've worked with people in the past who have been weird about numbers, genuinely. And it's like they'll phone me up at 2 o'clock in the morning and go, mate, how many downloads? How many downloads? And thankfully, you know, you're not like that and you are very self-aware, and I really respect that. But at the same time, I know everything, which is great, which makes me feel powerful.
I'd rather not know, to be honest, and I think it must be a running thing as well, Pete, because I am into the numbers in a running sense, but when it comes down to downloads, followers, likes, shares, it freaks me out. I mean, I checked Facebook the other week. It's vital mistake. I knew I shouldn't have done it. I checked Facebook, right? 5,209 followers, but only 5,065 people actually like me. I mean, what is that about? I don't get it. So there's basically 144 people out there that are following me, but they don't like me. It really messes with my mind. I didn't sleep that night. It's just better I don't know. Ignorance is bliss.
They're following you intentionally to dislike you. And then you pop up on their phone and then they go, oh, I'm going to watch this video. What an arsehole. That's what they're doing.
I've seriously considered actually giving you the login details to my Facebook because I don't want that responsibility. I just don't like it.
You see, I have loads of really good stuff, and this is a great thing about podcasts. I can tell that 61% of people are listening on Apple Podcasts. We had some problem on Spotify. I hope it's sorted now. If you're a Spotify listener, it's worth, if for whatever reason you don't see a new episode come up, they come out every Wednesday. If a new episode doesn't come up, make sure you use a different app, okay? Apple Podcasts, that takes in a bunch of Android apps as well, so they all come up on Apple Podcasts. But it's 61% Apple Podcasts, 17% Spotify. I can see around the world as well, so I can see how many listeners we've got in the UK. And I can also see, Jake, and you'll like this, we've got 5 listeners in India. There's 5 people listening in India.
Gone international. That is awesome.
It's totally gone international. And we've got 2 regular listeners in the United States. We've got 1 listener in the Czech Republic, which is lovely. A beautiful country. I've been there. And we've got 4 listeners in Australia. And if nothing else, it surely means that if we're talking to an international audience, it means that we can surely get some free holidays out of this, doesn't it? Does it?
We need to take the show on the road or on the boat or however you get over to India these days. I'm well up for that, to be honest. I mean, I think it would be good to arrange some group runs. I've got fans in India. It's my responsibility to take the show over there. I think we should go, to be honest. Can we contact them? You're the producer. You're the man with all the numbers in the notes. Can you see who they are?
Unfortunately, I can't see who they are. So if you are a listener of ours in India, you've got to contact us. Okay, and that's the thing. You can do it via social media. Check out Running With Jake on social media. Contact us through there. And all I'm thinking personally is if all of the 5 people from India, because I'd love to see Taj Mahal. I'd love to see that. I saw it on Idiot Abroad, and I just thought that looks beautiful. I really like that.
It's one of those things you just got to tick the box, haven't you? That's a proper bucket list.
It is. And so if the Indian people who are listening who live in India, then all I'd say is contact us, show us pictures of your home, and we can select which one we can come to. That'd be really cool.
This is cool because I'm no longer going to obsess about numbers of downloads now. I'm not interested. I'm now going to spend the rest of the day checking my inbox to see if I've had any emails from my Indian listeners so that they can they can host us for the weekend. How awesome would that be?
I know. If you're one of our listeners in the Czech Republic, then drop us a line. We'll come to Prague for the weekend. The beer's dead cheap.
Yeah, but just hang fire. We've got India first. or map it out. We'll map it out.
Wherever you're from, get in touch and let us know and we'll get a free holiday.
You need to facilitate our journey. Perfect. Great thinking, Freak.
For the show notes and video content, go to runningwithjake.com/podcast and follow us on social media.
If you have a training-related question that you're just dying to get an answer to, then it is hashtag AskJake. Every episode, we will be taking your questions. Now, I've had a question here from John, and he lives in a really hilly area, so all his runs involve hills. And he wants to know, is it better to take big strides rather than short strides when tackling hills? Now, John, I'm going to give you something slightly different to think about here. Now, generally speaking, it's better to shorten your stride when running up a hill. But obviously, all hills are not created equal, so it does depend on how steep the hill is. However, what I'd like you to do is start to think about your arms more so than your legs. Now, a lot of people overlook the role that the arms play when tackling hills. If you think about driving your elbows backwards, so consciously lifting your elbow behind you towards the sky, will enable you to push your body forwards and give you that forward momentum. You'll find this a lot easier and you'll get a nice rhythm going up the hill. So think about the arm swings, driving those elbows nice and high to the sky, and be slightly less conscious about your stride length. If you have a question, hashtag AskJake. We'll be taking another one next week. That's it for today's show. We'll be back next Wednesday with your weekly dose of running motivation. Now's the time to take a moment, put your feet up, get a cup of tea, and please rate and review the Running with Jake podcast. Just rate it, man. Come on, it's got to be worth more than one star. It's got to be worth more than one star. Oh, yeah. One more thing. Difficult roads always lead to beautiful destinations. Unless you're on the A59.
And on next week's episode of Running with Jake.
I used to have a client that worked in A&E. She used to tell me some stories, like so many people in there that aren't ill or injured, you know, they've just eaten too much at the Sunday carvery, that kind of thing, or they've inserted things in places where they really shouldn't, and they're just denial knowledge of how it got there.
I slipped, I was in the bathroom, I slipped.
She used to tell me some stories, oh yeah, I just fell on it. What do you mean you fell on it? It's an 18-inch Buzz Lightyear with flick-out wings, and you just fell on it? I don't think so.
Running with Jake, the podcast. Please use your podcast app to rate and review us. If you give us one star, we'll send Jake's grandma around.